Hi, Dave Emmer here. This is Side 1 of For the Record Program 784, titled First, Tame the Intellectuals. This has been recorded on March 30th of the year 2014. The title of the program refers to a quote from Adolf Hitler, and Hitler said, quote, "First, tame the intellectuals, then take them to the fields and hitch them to your racehorses." And what we're going to be looking at in this program is how exactly that sort of thing is being done with regard to the ongoing crisis in the Ukraine. The Ukrainian crisis is as unfortunate as it is, it does provide us with a chilling sort of in vitro examination of the onset of fascism in the United States and in Germany, and in particular how our media and our political scientific culture and that of Germany, which are likewise joined to the outright fascists and the Third Reich allied OUNB heirs that now hold power in the Ukraine. It is an example of how, as we looked at in For the Record 781, 2, and 3, in effect, George Orwell's Ministry of Truth is in the process of being formalized and deepened in the U.S. and Germany, particularly in the U.S. Of course, the Ministry of Truth from George Orwell's famous political novel 1984 was in fact a ministry of propaganda. They did not tell the truth, they told lies. And we have looked at considerable length in the previous programs, and this is the eighth broadcast I have done about the Ukraine crisis. We have looked at how political reality and history itself have been stood on their heads, and how the intellectuals have been handled in precisely the fashion that Hitler advocated. They have been first tamed and then, quote, hitched to, then paraphrasing slightly, hitched to the racehorses, and that is what we are seeing. We are seeing the taming of the intellectuals. They are then taken to the fields and hitched to the racehorses, in effect, furthering in a galloping fashion the political designs that the power brokers had in mind. It is impossible for me, in the context of an hour-long broadcast, to adequately sum up the information that is necessarily a background to this and foundation. Please use the descriptions and audio files for the previous seven programs, For the Record 777 through 783, for the background on this. One of the overtly fascist and Nazi parties that dominates the Ukrainian government is the Svoboda Party. That's SV or SW, depending on the spelling. O-B-O-D-A. It is, of course, transliterated from the Cyrillic alphabet. The Svoboda Party are explicit heirs to the OUNB of Stefan Bandera, a Third Reich proxy in the Ukraine. They both honor the tradition of the SS and the Einsatzgruppen, the mobile killing squads that performed the mass exterminations on the Eastern Front, and in turn, the Svoboda have been honored, their leaders have been honored by the veterans of the 14th Waffen-SS Division, among others, and they in turn have honored those very same veterans. Again, Svoboda dominates the current government in the Ukraine. They also are ably assisted, particularly in the defense ministry and the education ministry, by the even farther to the right Pravi sector. Pravi sector is even far, they also are explicit OUNB heirs. And they are, again, if anything, even farther to the right of Svoboda. We're first going to take a look at Svoboda in action, so to speak. We're going to look at what is grotesquely being represented as Western-style democracy in our controlled media. We have had our intellectuals tamed and then taken to the fields and hitched to the racehorses for a long time. Sadly, very, very sadly, and very, very tragically, to an increasing extent, Western-style democracy has come to mean what it came to mean in Dallas, Texas, on November 22, 1963. To a very large extent, very tragically, Western-style democracy is coming to be fascism wearing a smiley face mask. And again, the Svoboda forces in the Ukraine are being represented as democratic with a small d and have been overtly promoted by American and, in particular, German institutions and American and German politicians and state officials have visited with and schmoozed with and networked with Svoboda politicians. How democratic does this sound? And by the way, the video of this is on the internet. This is from the Kiev Post of March 19th of 2014. By the way, the Kiev Post is very conservative and supportive of the current forces, the Euromaidan forces in the Ukraine. And so this, if anything, this could be handicapped to the left because this is a very conservative publication, but they are not completely fascist, and even they are clearly appalled by what is going on. By the way, as you listen to this program and as you observe what is taking place in the Ukraine, never lose sight of the fact that 25% of all of the proven natural gas reserves on Earth are in the Ukraine. The big, big bucks or big, big euros that will derive from that, I think, are the real driving forces of the, quote, democracy, unquote, that is being promoted in the Ukraine by the West. Again, how democratic does this sound to you? Kiev Post, March 19th, 2014, an article by Olga Rudenko, R-U-D-E-N-K-O, titled Nationalist Svoboda Party, beginning again, Nationalist Svoboda Party Members of Parliament Assault First Channel TV Manager. And this is about an overt physical assault on Alexander Pantelimonov, who is the head of the largest state-owned television station in the Ukraine. Excerpting the story, several members of the Nationalist Svoboda Party scandalously assaulted the acting CEO of state-owned First National TV channel. On March 18th, lawmakers Ihor Miroshnichenko, Andrei Ilenko, and Bodan Beniuk arrived at the TV headquarters with several other men and forced Alexander Pantelimonov to quit his post. In the video, which was first published by Svoboda spokesman Alexander Aronets and published by Ukrainska Pravda after Aronets removed it from the internet, the members of parliament are seen questioning Pantelimonov in his office about the station's broadcasting Russian President Vladimir Putin's speech about Crimea separation that took place in Moscow on March 18th. Our viewers have the right to know, Pantelimonov starts mumbling explanations, but gets interrupted by the lawmakers. Again, these are not only seated parliamentarians, members of the Ukrainian parliament, but very special ones, as we will see in our next article, beginning again. Pantelimonov starts mumbling explanations, but gets interrupted by the lawmakers, shouting, "Know what? Know what?" Unquote. In the video, Pantelimonov is seen trying to explain himself and speaking politely while the lawmakers surround him and shout rudely. Miroshnichenko, the leading voice of the group, proceeded to accuse Pantelimonov of directing an editorial policy aimed at discrediting the Euromaidan revolution at the behest of the former state authorities, and he demanded that Pantelimonov leave his post immediately. Pantelimonov refused to do so and mentioned that it was the cabinet of ministers that control the TV station. Quote, "Cabinet of ministers is over. I'm telling you, write the paper," Miroshnichenko shouted in the manager's face as he grabbed him and pulled him through the room to his desk. Miroslavchenko then pushed Pantelimonov into his chair. Beniuk held him by the neck, and Ilyenko passed him some paper. As Pantelimonov refused, Miroslavchenko and Beniuk beat him and slapped his face. Even though the video doesn't show it, the lawmakers did force the manager to quit. And again, these are members of the Svoboda delegation of the Ukrainian parliament who are doing this to the acting CEO of the largest state television station in the Ukraine. As we hear more, note the Orwellian newspeak that is being implemented all over the Western news media. You can no longer say that somebody is a Nazi or a fascist. It is simply a nationalist, an ultra-nationalist, a paleo-conservative. If Adolf Hitler materialized in the middle of Times Square, the news media would report it as a remarkable event in which an ultra-nationalist or a paleo-conservative appeared miraculously in Times Square. And the Orwellian treatment of anything that the Russians have to say is really worthy of the very coldest, frozen depths of the Cold War. If Vladimir Putin and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov gave a press conference and announced that 2 + 2 = 4, the Western news media would say, at a press conference, Russian President Vladimir Putin and Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov repeated their assertion that 2 + 2 = 4. Russian media have been repeating this claim over and over since the Russian occupation of the Ukraine, and it has become a common feature of Russian arithmetical propaganda. I mean, things are that bad. When you hear me say nationalist or ultra-nationalist, I'm remaining true to the text. But part of the newspeak that is going on here, again referring to Orwell's 1984, in which a psycholinguistic and conceptual framework was realized that made it all but impossible to disagree with Big Brother and the state, and we are really looking at something like that. This is how you do what Hitler advocated doing. First, tame the intellectuals, then take them to the fields and hitch them to your racehorses. More about the taming of the intellectuals and the hitching of them to the political racehorses that the powers that be desire. The kind of thing that we witnessed with regard to Mr. Pantelimonov has been going on apparently in other places in the Ukraine. This is from the very important GermanForeignPolicy.com blog that feeds along the lower right-hand side of the SpitfireList.com website. This is from GermanForeignPolicy.com of March 21st, 2014, a fatal taboo violation. And what this refers to is the taboo violation is, I've been basically calling a spade a spade. It is identifying Svoboda and Pravi Sektor as fascists, which they most assuredly are. They are fascists and they are Nazis, and yet anyone who uses that term is accused of parroting Russian propaganda. Again, this is newspeak. This comes from the Ministry of Truth, as I said in For the Record programs 781 and 782, all's well that's all well. Again, a fatal taboo violation, GermanForeignPolicy.com of March 21st of 2014, skipping down. The raid on the National Television Company of Ukraine, or NTU, carried out by a group of Svoboda parliamentarians and thugs, has provoked new protests against the new Ukrainian government. Under the leadership of Member of Parliament Ihor Miroshnichenko, the Svoboda activists forced their way into NTU President Alexander Pantelimonov's office, accusing him of serving Russian propaganda interests because he had broadcast excerpts of the speech that Russian President Vladimir Putin had held earlier that day. They physically assaulted him and forced him to resign. And these weren't just members of parliament. Listen to who they were. Continuing, Miroshnichenko is the deputy chair of the Parliamentary Committee on Freedom of Speech and Information. A video of the attack can be seen on the internet. We talked about Miroshnichenko, by the way, in previous broadcasts. There is this publication originally was published in German. Continuing, Miroshnichenko was also the fellow who turned Ukrainian-born American actress Mila Kunis a dirty Jewess, unquote. Skipping down. This has not been the only such incident. According to the OSCE representative on freedom of the media, already on Monday, a group of unnamed individuals stormed a national television station in the Chernihiv region of the Ukraine, forcing its director Arkady Bilibayev to resign. The right sector's militia occupied the TV station Tonis, T-O-N-I-S, and suggested, quote, editorial cooperation, unquote. Svoboda's attacks have sparked protests. In Kiev, dozens of journalists demonstrated against intimidation attempts using force to end nonconformist reporting. OSCE representative on freedom of the media Dunya Mijatovic expressed her, quote, outrage, unquote. The attack on NTU director in Kiev is a, quote, particularly serious incident, unquote, also because it was perpetrated by members of the Freedom of Speech and Information Committee of the Ukrainian Parliament. Svoboda leader Oleg Tyanobok has now officially dissociated himself from the attack, declaring that his party must understand, unquote, that it no longer is in the opposition and therefore should use other methods, unquote. I suspect that some of the other methods are what we are now seeing in Germany and the U.S. More about that later, i.e. simply disinformation and propagandizing. Continuing, Tyanobok himself has used violence together with Miroshnichenko, as can be seen on the photos taken in the Kiev parliament. A year ago, Miroshnichenko had made himself a name when insulting Ukrainian actress Mila Kunis. He referred to her as a dirty Jewess, unquote. While its fascist character becomes more evident from one day to the next, the Svoboda Party has undergone quite a surprising rhetorical revision in leading German media organs. Whereas in the fall of 2013 there was a basic consensus that the party was right-wing extremist, it has since gone through a major transformation. As a dwindling number of editorial boards is characterizing Svoboda as fascist or right-wing extremist, unquote, a growing number is using such attributes as right-wing populist, unquote, nationalist, unquote, or also more recently, national conservative, unquote. Just a few days ago, a German daily wrote that Svoboda possibly, quote, before 2004, had nurtured right-wing extremist traditions, unquote. However, its leader, Oleg Tyanobok, has since, quote, led the party out of this right-wing quagmire, unquote. It would be, again quoting, difficult to find fascist or anti-Semitic remarks that he, Tyanobok, has made over the past few years, unquote, according to Tagesspiegel. Besides, the fascism accusation, unquote, is part of the, again quoting, typical Russian propaganda, unquote. Again, if you called Hitler a Nazi or a fascist, you would be turned a dupe of Russian propaganda. It is that bad. Continuing, if one would take this allegation seriously, various Svoboda activities under Tyanobok's leadership in 2013 would no longer be considered fascist or right-wing extremist. This would include a neo-Nazi Sven Karnes Party of the Swedes meeting on March 23rd to 24th, 2013 in Stockholm, where Svoboda was represented, and one of the keynote speakers was from the German neo-Nazi NPD party. There would also be Svoboda's participation at the Boreal Festival in mid-September of 2013 in Cantu, Italy, where alongside the Swedish neo-Nazi Svensk Communist Party, also Italy's neo-fascist Forza Nuova and the British National Party, or BNP, were also present, or a meeting of a Svobodi Party delegation with Saxony's NPD Regional Parliamentary Group in late May. The April 28th, 2013 commemoration celebration organized by Svoboda in Lvov for the 70th anniversary of the founding of the 14th Waffen-SS, or Galician Division, with a Svoboda parliamentarian in Kiev as the keynote speaker, that would have nothing at all to do with fascism. The next day, Tianbuk met in Kiev with the German ambassador to the Ukraine. Again, that's the day after Svoboda held a celebration of the founding of the 14th Waffen-SS Division, the Galician Division. Svoboda leader, as we looked at, Svoboda leader Oleg Tianyanovich was honored in Canada in May of 2010 by veterans of this division, and in turn, they honored veterans of the division in 2011 and again 2013, on the 70th anniversary of the founding of that division. The next day, Tianbuk met with the German ambassador to the Ukraine. Continuing, according to the Tagesspiegel's allegations, Svoboda's memorial celebration in October 2013 of the October 14th, 1942 founding of the Ukrainian Insurgent Army, or UPA, would also not qualify as fascist. The UPA had massacred around 100,000 people in the wake of the Nazi occupiers, particularly Jews, by the way, as we have looked at in the past. A street in Lvov has been renamed after the Einsatzgruppe Nachtigall. That was the Einsatzgruppe that massacred at the Polish and Jewish population of that city. Continuing. The German government claims that, quote, in the run-up to the 2012 parliamentary elections, Svoboda has revised its cultural programming, eliminating right-wing extremist statements, unquote, and insisting that, in his telephone conversation with Tianyanovich on April 29th, the German ambassador had underlined that, quote, anti-Semitic remarks are unacceptable from the German viewpoint, unquote. But Svoboda's program is still unambiguous. For example, the party demands that all media organs spreading anti-Ukrainian propaganda, unquote, have their licenses revoked. Those, perhaps, are the other means that Tianyanovich was referring to when making the reference to Mr. Marashnyshenko and the other Svoboda parliamentarians' physical assault on the head of the largest public television station in the Ukraine. Beginning again. But Svoboda's program is still unambiguous. For example, the party demands that all media organs spreading anti-Ukrainian propaganda have their licenses revoked. The parliamentarian Ihor Marashnyshenko used precisely this argument to justify his attack on NTU's director. According to its electoral program, Svoboda seeks to outlaw, quote, any display of Ukrainophobia and to ban, quote, sexual perversion, unquote, referring also to homosexuality. By the way, parenthetically, the repressive Russian anti-gay laws received a tremendous amount of publicity during the broadcasting of the Winter Olympics, but the fact that Svoboda and Pravi Sektor are even more overtly and doctrinarily and doctrinally homophobic, and the fact that they, during the Euromaidan demonstrations, they were physically assaulting gays, has received almost no publicity. Continuing, the party calls for a, quote, state program of patriotic education and hardening in the nature of the young generation, unquote, and promotes patriotic organizations and patriotism, unquote, beginning again. The party calls for a state program of patriotic education and hardening the nature of the young generation, unquote, and promotes, quote, patriotic organizations, unquote. patriotism would be defined by Svoboda's view of history. It plans to declare the crimes of the Nazi UPA and the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalist OUN Collaborators a national liberation struggle, unquote, and wants to give UPA veterans proper privileges and to declare October 14th, the day the UPA was founded, a national holiday, the day of Ukrainian weaponry, unquote. When, on February 20th, the German Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier of the SPD appeared in public at the side of Svoboda leader Oleg Tjahnybok, he lent that party social respectability as an acceptable cooperation partner. A few days ago, former EU Commissioner Gunther Verhoeven of the SPD was unambiguous in his views concerning Svoboda. It is a fatal, quote, violation of a taboo, unquote, to accept real fascists in the government, unquote, Verhoeven declared. Integrating radical forces has gone terribly wrong more than once in European history. This should not be forgotten. This is the nominal reference for the fatal taboo that is discussed in the title of this post. But really, I think the title of the post is a wry reference to the fact that basically telling it like it is, calling this overtly fascist and Nazi party that dominates the Ukrainian government as being the fascist and Nazi party that it is, that is the real taboo. And if one dares to do so, then one is simply parroting Russian propaganda. And this sort of thing is going on really all over the place. It's going on in the U.S. Note that the German foreign minister, like the German ambassador to the Ukraine, met with these people, and many American politicians have done the same. John McCain was meeting with Svoboda. Secretary of State Kerry met with Oleg Tjahnybok. The defense minister of the Ukraine, now resigned, was networking with Secretary of Defense Hagel. And again, the legitimization of these people is really an Orwellian endeavor in and of itself, and something that we are all going to pay very dearly for in the future. I have never seen a more salient example of the media and of our political scientific institutions acting as overt, frankly, dishonest, lying propaganda organs of state policy. And again, do not lose sight of the fact that 25% of the proven natural gas reserves in the Ukraine, 25% of the entire proven natural gas reserves on the face of the earth, are in the Ukraine. That has an awful lot to do with it. What we're going to be looking at in side two are a number of things. We're going to begin by looking at another post of GermanForeignPolicy.com called "The Free World," and it is ironic. It talks about the slanting of German media coverage of what is going on in the Ukraine, and in particular, a publication called Die Zeit, and it's networking with transatlantic national security-oriented bodies, and how that in turn appears to be resulting directly in Die Zeit's propagandization of the media. Also, a German Green parliamentarian move to limit the free speech of former German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder. However, that will be in side two, because this concludes side one of For the Record program number 784. First, Tame the Intellectuals. This has been recorded on March 30th, 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.